Welcome back to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is basically an audio compilation of my videos on YouTube. And by the way, if it sounds really echoey right now, it is because I am recording this in my kitchen right now. You might hear a couple things in the background, the hum of the refrigerator and the dryer going. Forgive me for the not so great audio, but this is just where I had to record my intro at the moment because I am making some food and I'm hungry. So yeah, get over it. But in this episode, I will be reviewing two movies, 2003's Elf and 2022 Spoiler Alert. Those are the two reviews I have for today. But yeah, if you want these reviews in video form and earlier, head over to my YouTube channel at The Film Punch. Type that in over on the search bar on YouTube. Should be able to find it from there. If you can't, go over to my Instagram, also at The Film Punch. Link in the bio should take you where you need to go. Without further ado, let's thank today's sponsors and get into the reviews. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Alright, so 2003's Elf is directed by Jon Favreau, who a lot of people know for playing Happy Hogan in the MCU, but some of you might not know that he actually directed the first and second Iron Man films. I believe he's also one of the creators on The Mandalorian, one of the directors as well for that show, and I believe has had a hand in a lot of the other Star Wars Disney Plus shows. So a very talented director slash writer slash person in general, somebody I very much like. The film is written by David Barenboim. And it stars Will Ferrell, of course, as Buddy the Elf. Personally, this is one of my favorite Christmas movies. I think this would probably be like my second favorite Christmas movie. Not going to tell you what the first is because I'm thinking of doing a top 10 favorite Christmas movies sometime soon, maybe in the next day or so. Just because lately there haven't been as many new movies for me to watch. So I'm just like trying to find other stuff to talk about. Decided to kind of start my Christmas movie list. I was going to do like a 12 days of Christmas movie reviews, but I figured that would kind of get in the way of some other releases like Avatar and the Whitney Houston movie. Yeah, I could, you know, do the 12 days of Christmas and also do those reviews as well, but I typically don't like to have two videos come out in the same day and have those competing with each other. I mean, my videos already compete with each other enough, so yeah, there's my reasoning there. But I'm still going to get to a few Christmas movies. There's still a few other ones that I want to talk about, one of which I actually already said that I want to talk about in another video. I won't say what that is here, but if you can find where I talked about it, you'll know which one I want to talk about. Like I said before, Will Ferrell as Buddy. We also have James Caan as Walter Hobbs. We have Bob Newhart as Papa Elf. Zooey Deschanel as Jovi. We have Ed Asner as Santa. Rest in peace, Ed Asner, the great Ed Asner, who some people might not know, but he voiced, and I forget the name of, is it Carl? I think so. He voiced the character of Carl in Up. I believe he's done a lot of voice work for Disney and just a lot of voice work in general. Very great actor, and very sad that he's gone. I think this is a very underrated Santa that people typically don't think about when they think of live-action Santas. But Yeah, very much like him in this role, even though you don't get a whole lot of him. We also have Mary Steenburgen, hopefully I'm saying that right, as Emily Hobbs. Right? Yeah, I think so. So that's the wife to Walter Hobbs. And she actually was the mother to Will Ferrell's character in Step Brothers. So yeah, I'm 99.999% sure that Step Brothers came out after that. Yeah, it did. So it's cool to see that they work together again. But yeah, let me see who else do we have here. We have Daniel Tay as Michael, the son in the movie. We have, is it Faison Love, as the Gimbel's manager. They don't give him a name, which sucks because his character is so iconic in here. He's so funny. I mean, if you've seen this movie, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Gimbel's manager. That guy is insane. No singing in the North Pole. I don't know. There's just so many iconic lines in this movie that I can quote. And I'll say this right now before I forget. This is one of those movies that I feel like I could watch even if it weren't close to Christmas time. In fact, I have watched this, you know, in the summertime before. I watched this while I was camping once. Like, that's crazy. I watched this in a camper once at night when I was just, like, bored in, like, July. So this one is definitely one of those that I could rewatch any time of year, just because I love it that much. But yeah, who else do we have in here? We have Amy Sedaris as Deb. I always wondered who that was. Now I know who Amy Sedaris is because of stuff like, she's in The Mandalorian too, right? Yeah, I think so. So that's kind of funny that she's working with Jon Favreau over there now too. But yeah, she's fun in here with the little amount we get from her. Peter Dinklage is in here as Miles Finch. We don't get a whole lot from him, but still cool to see him in here. Kyle Gass is in here. A lot of people might not, like, if you're under the age of, like, I don't know, 20, you might not know who Kyle Gass is, but he's one of the members of Tenacious D, which is a duo with Jack Black, and they are awesome. If you've never watched Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, watch that movie. It's one of my favorites. I love it. But yeah, he plays Eugene. I should have recognized him in here, but I'm surprised I didn't. Who else do we have in here? We have Artie Lange as the Gimbel Santa. Who else? Got Leon Redbone as Leon the Snowman, which is like, I think that was used with like stop motion claymation with those scenes in the North Pole and his character. Jon Favreau, some of you might not know, but he actually voiced the narwhal that says, "Bye, buddy, hope you find your dad." Which I actually have a Christmas sweater with that on it, but I wish I could find it. I just couldn't find it before I had to record this. But yeah, he also cameoed as Walter Hobbs' doctor in the movie, so that's cool. Who else do we have here? There was one more person. Oh yeah, Andy Richter as Morris. You know, younger folks might not know who Andy Richter is, but he's like the co-host to Conan O'Brien. So, and he's been in a lot of really great movies as well. But yeah, really fun cast here. A lot of really great names. A lot of really great people in the comedy world as well. Yeah, Jon Favreau definitely picked out a lot of really great people for this one. But yeah, let me see here. If I heard this correctly, a lot of the like New York scenes were actually filmed in Vancouver, and Vancouver obviously over in Canada. And I think for the North Pole scenes in particular, the set that they were trying to use wasn't big enough. So they ended up actually using an ice skating rink or like a hockey arena, essentially. So basically all the North Pole scenes were filmed on an ice skating rink in a hockey arena. As long as I heard that information correctly, because I was listening to like how it was made on Netflix. But yeah, little interesting factoid there. And then there's another interesting fact where if you've seen the movie before, when Buddy the Elf first gets to New York and he's like walking around and you see like the one dude in the red jumpsuit who looks like Santa, and he's like, "Oh my God, Santa! Oh no, you're not Santa." That guy wasn't an actor. He wasn't a background actor or anything. In fact, this movie had quite a low budget to the point where they really couldn't hire that many actors. So pretty much all those scenes, anybody in the background, it was just actual people. And I think that's awesome. That's genius. I love that kind of shit. And then also the one other thing that I heard in that like kind of behind the scenes thing is that Jon Favreau didn't want to use a whole lot of special effects. There are special effects in the movie, I believe, specifically when it comes to like Santa's sleigh and stuff like that. But for the most part, a lot of it's done with like stop motion, claymation kind of stuff like that. And I can appreciate that for sure. Yeah, Jon Favreau, he has a good eye for that kind of stuff. And I think he definitely made this movie stand the test of time by not trying too hard to put very new at the time digital effects into the movie and date the movie like that. But yeah, let me see here. Just making sure I don't have any other notes before I want to say the one thing I really want to say. Oh yeah, never mind. I didn't have many notes for this movie. I was just watching it because it's one of those movies I watch every year. It's not really something I take notes on because I've seen it so many times. But yeah, I will say that one time I was watching it in July, I cried while watching it in that scene where Jovi starts singing and then everybody starts singing. And I can confirm that this time around, I cried in that part again. And I also cried in the part where Walter says, like, he apologizes for snapping at Buddy and says that he loves him. Those two parts, I cried. I'm a baby when it comes to movies like this, okay? It's Christmas movies. It gets me in the Christmas mood. It gets my heart all warm and happy. Yeah, I don't know what it is about this movie that makes me want to cry when I've seen other movies that are supposed to make me cry and really don't. I don't know what it is. It's weird. I don't think that was the point of it, but hey, that's just me with movies sometimes. I cry at weird shit. I cry at sappy stuff, and that's just something you guys are going to have to get used to when it comes to movies like this, especially when I talk about them. But yeah, I mean, I knew this review wasn't going to be long. How long can you really talk about 2003's Elf? Because I feel like everybody's talked about it, reacted to it. I mean, what left is there to say? I mean, all I really wanted to say is that I just really love this movie and I just kind of wanted to talk about it for a bit, share those interesting little factoids that some people might not have known. Yeah, it's a great movie. I would say it's at least my second favorite Christmas movie of all time. But again, I'm not going to tell you what the first is because I'm going to probably save that for a top 10 list. But yeah, pretty sure that's all I have for you guys today. For this review, at least. I very much appreciate you watching. In terms of what I'm going to be reviewing next, I do want to go see Spoiler Alert, the new Jim Parsons movie. I don't know when I'm going to get to that. It'll either be today as of recording this. It is Thursday, so it'll either be today or Sunday. Might have to wait a little bit. Just really depends, but yeah. I mean, you'll know when it comes out, I guess. So yeah, just keep your eyes peeled. I'm planning on doing some more Christmas movie reviews throughout the month of December. Not as many as I was planning on, but I will at least get to the ones I really wanted to, like maybe I'll do like Home Alone 1 and 2. You know, that one seems like a good one to do. I mean, I rewatch those every year for sure. So that seems like a no-brainer on those. And then there's one other one that I was saying before. If you heard me in the video talking about it, then you'll know which one I'm talking about. But I'm not going to say it here. But I will say that Double Toasted is probably going to be covering it soon. So I kind of want to get to it before they do. Not that my review will be any better than theirs, but you know, still. But yeah, I guess I should rank this movie, huh? I have a new ranking system that I haven't used a whole lot yet. It's very simple. It's probably going to change over time. But as of right now, it's just premium ticket, standard ticket, discounted ticket, and free ticket. You can kind of get the idea there. Premium ticket, worth paying extra for. Standard ticket, worth the price of admission. Discounted ticket, worth watching if it's discounted, and then free ticket, worth watching if it's free. Obviously, this is a movie that's not in theater. Well, actually, it is showing at a theater near me right now, so it might be showing at a theater near you. Possibly go watch it in the theater, but honestly, movies like this, you can watch it at home. Most people will. It's on HBO Max right now. So I guess in that standard, in the streaming standard, let's see, I'd probably give it like a standard subscription, and I would say like a standard ticket for the movie. I don't think it's anything that's going to like change your entire life, but in terms of it being a good Christmas movie, is it a good Christmas movie? Absolutely. Is it the best Christmas movie? Maybe not, but I love it. So that's just me personally. But yeah, have you seen 2003's Elf? Do you like it or not? Comment down below. Let me know. I would just love to know what you think about this movie. Have you not seen it? Are you planning on watching it this holiday season? Why or why not? Comment that down below too. Really anything you want to comment down below, I would appreciate it. I respond to pretty much every comment. So yeah, comment down below with anything you want. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one. Alright, so 2022 Spoiler Alert is directed by Michael Showalter, who some of you might know for directing The Big Sick, as well as last year's The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Wasn't a huge fan of Eyes of Tammy Faye, I gotta be honest. And The Big Sick is a movie I have not seen, but have heard nothing but good things about. The screenplay here is by David Marshall Grant and Dan Savage. David Marshall Grant actually plays the character of Tony in this film. And it is based on the book Spoiler Alert, The Hero Dies by Michael Osiello, who Jim Parsons plays in this film alongside Ben Aldridge as Kit Cohen. And immediately I'm going to bring up the movie Bros that came out a few months ago or so. Just from the trailers alone, people are probably going to compare this movie to that one and be like, oh, it's basically just Bros 2. That's your first mistake, is thinking that this is like basically just Bros. It's really not. It has a very different story. It has a very relatable and personal story. And it's a very hard to watch kind of story too. If you haven't watched the trailer, or if you just like started watching the trailer and you thought you knew what kind of movie this was, it's a movie about cancer. The character of Ben Aldridge as Kit Cohen, his character gets cancer in the film. It's not something that's like immediate in the film, but it's something that you kind of know is coming throughout the movie, because from the very beginning they address, okay, this guy has cancer. Now let's go back and see what their life was like before this. And it's just about Michael and Kit meeting each other and, you know, kind of seeing 13 years of their life before this horrible thing happens to them. And for anybody who has lost somebody to cancer, for anybody who's known somebody who's had to battle cancer, you know how terrible of a thing not only it is to go through for the person who has it, but for the people around them as well. Personally, I've lost quite a few people to cancer in my family, and it never gets easier. And this film, I think, portrays that process perfectly. I was a kid at the time when a lot of this was going on. I didn't see a lot of what was going on, but I in the back of my mind, I kind of knew what was happening. And, you know, I knew that people were in pain and suffering and just trying so hard to fight it. And I don't know, you just kind of see that process throughout this movie with not only Jim Parsons' character, but, you know, Sally Field's character, who plays Marilyn, the mother to Kit, and then Bill Irwin as Bob, who plays the father to Kit. You see just how it is for all three of them, you know, Jim Parsons' character, Sally Field's character, Bill Irwin's character. You see how they're all kind of dealing with it separately while together at the same time, and you just see how difficult of a process it is to watch somebody you love just start to wither away, essentially. And I won't lie to you, this is one of the hardest movies I've watched this year. I'm getting emotional right now. Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy movie to watch for me at all. You know, I've seen other movies that have to deal with people dying of cancer, like Fault in Our Stars and shit like that. That shit makes me cry, of course. But something about the way they're doing it in here just feels a lot more real and a lot more personal. Whereas opposed to something like that, I mean, you kind of know, like, yes, it's happening to somebody somewhere, but Fault in Our Stars, it's at the end of the day, it's a fictional book. But here, like, you know, what's happening in this movie actually happened to somebody. And you know that, you know, when it comes to movies based on books, you don't know how much of everything is true, how much is false. But here it feels just so organic. It feels so natural that you have to imagine that there's little to nothing that they left out or added. It just feels like it's this complete story about these two people, and it doesn't feel like they left out any of the difficult parts. They didn't leave, like, it's not just a snapshot of like their best moments in their life, because it's really not. In fact, I'd say you see more of them kind of broken than not. You know, even before the whole cancer element comes into their life, they're already kind of on the rocks with their relationship and still are already having issues. And almost like the cancer is almost what brought them back together in a kind of messed up way. But yeah, I'm talking about all the emotional elements to this movie, and I'm talking about how it's nothing compared to Bros, or not nothing compared, you know what I mean? It's nothing like Bros, because Bros, I think at times relied a little too heavily on the fact that it was a rom-com about a gay couple. And some of the comedy was a little bit too crude, a little bit too much. And that's just kind of how it is with, and I'm Billy Eichner. That's kind of just how it is with some of his comedy sometimes, and I'm fine with that. And then I forget who, Judd Apatow, I believe he wasn't like one of the writers or directors on that, but he was a producer, and you could feel a lot of Judd Apatow's humor in there, which is humor I typically enjoy. I like a lot of Judd Apatow's movies, but in that one, it just felt, as opposed to this at least, and it's hard, you really shouldn't compare these two movies. Like, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make now, is because they're two very, even though they have similar aspects to them, they're two wildly different movies about wildly different things. Yes, it might be about, you know, a gay couple, but at the end of the day, it's dealing with a lot heavier topics than Bros. So you shouldn't really compare it in that aspect, but if you were trying to compare it, I would say that this movie just does a lot better in terms of actually feeling like a real story and not just feeling like things happening at times, which is kind of how I felt with Bros. It's just like, oh, you have this whole LGBTQ plus museum thing in that movie. And I'm just like, yeah, that's fun and all, I guess. But like, who gives a shit? I don't give a shit. I don't know. That movie, like, I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I had fun with that movie. Is it going to be one of my favorites of the year? No. Is it going to be one of my least favorites of the year? Absolutely not. But when it comes to movies trying to kind of do a similar thing, which is tell a rom-com story involving a gay couple, this one does so much better, in my opinion. Is it the movie I would watch over Bros? I don't necessarily know, because with Bros, it's a lot easier of a watch than this one. But this is the better movie, I would say, of the two. And Martin Thomas from Double Toasted, he was saying something about this movie is the movie that, you know, Bros promised us it would be. And even then, I'm just like, not necessarily. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's a rom-com that doesn't, like, it doesn't, like, pat itself on the back too much because it has a gay couple in it. Like, you know, that's kind of how Bros is. It's like, oh my gosh, we're the first, you know, real big budget rom-com involving a gay couple. Look at us. We're fantastic. Look at us. We're running through the street. We're, you know, we got the flag flying through the wind and all that shit. Like, that's great, but you still forgot to make like a really good story. And it's just, Bros is just one of those typical stories where I feel like if you took out the gay couple element of it, it'd just be another generic rom-com. And this, like, I would almost even say it's not even really a rom-com, because there are elements of comedy in this movie, but it's sprinkled throughout where it's comic relief in parts where you really need it. And, you know, anytime they use comedy in this movie, it's used at the right time. It's used at the appropriate time. It's used when you need a laugh the most. And I don't know. There's just a lot of things that they do right with this movie. I have very few complaints. I have one small complaint that even by the end of the movie, like, gets kind of shifted into something where I'm like, oh no, I like how that all came together. You know, there's a whole sitcom aspect in this movie, which you might be a little confused by on the surface. But that's basically how Michael, Jim Parsons' character, thinks about his childhood, is in the sense that his childhood was like a sitcom. And that's something I didn't really care for too much throughout the film, but by the end of the film, they did something with it that I thought was really unique and brought even more emotion to it than I was expecting. And I was already expecting to have a lot of emotions, but not even going to lie to you, I was bawling my eyes out in the theater. I'm glad there were only two other people there watching it with me. Hopefully people go check this movie out, but I have a feeling with all the other movies out right now, it's probably going to get pushed under the rug and we'll probably get more attention when it, pops up on a streaming service and whatnot. But, yeah, let me see if I have any other notes here. I know, I feel like most of the time I've just been talking about Bros, but I feel like so many people are going to just try to compare this movie to that even without watching it. Just even watching like 30 seconds of the trailer, they think they know exactly what kind of movie this is. And I won't lie, the trailer makes it look sappy. It makes it look kind of, I don't know, it does, it makes, it doesn't make it look as good as it actually is, but when you break it down, like, it's a really relatable story. There's something in this movie that anybody can relate to. Like, there's gotta at least be one thing in this movie that somebody can relate to out there, whether it be like the cancer aspect, whether it be, you know, you being gay, being in the closet, whatever it might be. There's a lot of things in this movie that people can relate to on a human level. And, you know, again, a movie like Bros, yeah, sure, there's things people can relate to, especially gay people, but this feels like the movie that's more for everybody instead of for one kind of group of people, you know? I guess that's kind of how I feel at the end of the day, but yeah, they definitely got all the hard stuff right, the, like, difficult to watch stuff. They made it difficult to watch, but they made it impactful, and they made it so, like, you didn't want to look away because you wanted to see, you wanted to get, like, every moment of it you could. It's almost like you knew that character who had cancer in the movie. It's almost like you knew them, at least for me personally, like somebody who's had to deal with, you know, losing people to cancer in the past. It puts you in the shoes. It makes you feel like you're losing them. So, like, as hard as it is to be in those moments where they're in so much pain and they look like skeletons and they don't look like themselves, you know, as much as you want to look away, you still care about them, so you don't want to, because you want to be there for them. And yeah, this movie just hit me on a lot of emotional elements, and yeah, I think it definitely did its job right. So yeah, everybody did a great job in the movie. I think everybody did a really good job acting. Jim Parsons was great in this movie. I saw some complaints that he looked a little too old for the part. I only listened to, like, one review, and they were like, yeah, just, like, seeing him in the, like, earlier parts of the movie where he's supposed to be younger, it looks like this, like, 40-year-old guy in a club. I'm like, yeah, kind of, but at the same time, like, I don't know, he's Jim Parsons. That's just kind of what he looks like sometimes, okay? Don't judge Jim Parsons. I like him. But yeah, for the most part, great movie. Is it one of the best movies I've seen all year? Not necessarily, but I do think it'll at least get an honorable mention when it comes to my top 10 favorites of 2022 list. But yeah, have you seen 2022? Spoiler alert. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? Love to know. Comment down below. And have you not seen it yet? Are you planning on watching it in the theater? Why or why not? Really, anything you want to comment down below, just I'd love to hear from you. And I respond to pretty much every comment. But yeah, in terms of the ranking this movie, new kind of ranking system here for movies. We got the premium ticket worth the price of admission plus maybe extra for, you know, 3D or IMAX or whatever it might be. When we have standard ticket worth the price of admission, discounted ticket worth watching if it's discounted, not great, not bad, but, like, you know, not the best. And then we have free ticket, only worth watching if it's free. Definitely not a great movie, but I wouldn't put this movie in that tier at all. I would say, to fairly kind of show you guys how I feel, I think standard ticket would be the way to go for me. I wouldn't pay any extra to go watch this movie. Will I be watching this movie again? I don't know, because again, it was a really hard movie for me to watch. So typically I don't rush back to watch those types of movies, but yeah, I think this is worth the price of admission. I would say it's worth watching in the theaters if you get the chance. But if you do miss out in the theaters to watch it, I wouldn't say it's a super huge deal. Just look for it on a streaming service when it comes out. But yeah, there's my review for 2022. Spoiler alert. Again, comment down below if you've seen it or haven't, whatever it might be. Tell me what you think, or if you're going to see it. Again, all that jazz. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I will see you in the next one with another movie or TV show review. See you later.
Thank you all so much for listening. I'm on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at The Film Punch. So go check me out over there. Also, over on Instagram, I have a personal account. Not really like a personal, like, private account, but just like one to do whatever I want with, I guess. It's called at The Film Sensei, so you can go follow me there too. But yeah, update from the intro, I made some chicken. So, hope you don't mind chewing sounds, but most people aren't listening by the end of the episode anyway. But, yeah, as for the next episode, should be reviewing Devotion, 2022's Devotion. I'm going to do a re-review for The Batman, 2022's The Batman, because I don't have a review for that on the YouTube channel, and it's been a while since I watched it, so I'm going to have that. And then I think I'm going to try to watch 2022's Emancipation as well, the new Will Smith movie on Apple TV Plus. Don't mind me, just eating. I'm hungry. Never eaten on the podcast before, but here we go. Hopefully it doesn't sound too gross. Maybe I'll do it more. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that's all I got for you guys. This is usually the point where I just ramble because, again, nobody's really listening at this point. But thank you all for listening. Go check me out on YouTube and all that, and I'll see you in the next one.